And so I want to go back to that passage in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, that 50th day, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Up to this point, God had already fulfilled Passover with Christ. Up to this day, God had already fulfilled Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because as Jesus was, and this is kind of one of those things where you might have wondered about it at one time or so. Jesus says, as Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And so you go back and people were saying, well, that must mean that Jesus actually was crucified on a Wednesday, because you have Wednesday, then you have Thursday, then you have Friday, and then you have, and, you know, he rises early on Sunday. Some say Thursday. But when you look at it, if you hold fast to the teachings of the feast, it would not be out of the ordinary for Christ to have been crucified on a Friday. And I'll say that backing it up with this. When Jesus was crucified, it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, everybody know that 3 o'clock in the afternoon is still what? Daylight. Amen. So it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Jesus was crucified on the cross. That's scriptural. That's not just a guess or anything. That's scriptural. At 3 o'clock, he yielded up the spirit. He gave up the ghost, and that was it. He was dead. The soldiers could not believe that Jesus had died already, because it just happened so suddenly. They went to the thieves, and they broke their knees, but by the time they got to Jesus, they looked at him. He's already dead. And so the scripture says, darkness came over the earth, which was a sign of night. And so you have Jesus actually dying in the day on Friday and actually being dead Friday evening. But they had to get him off of the cross before 6 p.m., because he could not be on that cross, nor did they have others on that cross, during the Sabbath. So they had to remove him from the cross. They got him off before 6 p.m. They buried him in a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And so you have that Friday, you have a day and you have a night. You have that Saturday, you have a day and you have a night. Now, let me ask you this, not that I'm expecting you to answer, but at what point did Jesus descend into the lower parts of the earth? Was it when they put him in the tomb? Or was it at the point that he yielded up the ghost? It's at the point that he yielded up the ghost. He got to work. He who ascended first also descended into the lower parts of the earth. And so you have a Friday day and night, you have a Saturday day and night, and then early on Sunday morning, you have Christ rising from the dead. And so you can kind of understand what Jesus was saying in relationship to the feast. And this is why I believe God stressed that we continue to celebrate these feasts, because they are prophetic. They reveal God's time calendar, what he's doing in the earth. We don't know the day, the time, or the hour when Jesus is coming back, but we do understand the seasons now. And the reason we do is because he highlighted these particular three feasts that they would all worship. Now, there's seven feasts total that the Lord established, but three remained important. And, you know, it's like, you must show up on these days. You know how Pastor Lucille was saying earlier, come to every service? Well, these are one of those services that you could not afford to miss. No matter how far you lived away, you were expected to be there. As a matter of fact, by the time we get to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is going to actually commemorate God coming down and dwelling in the midst of his people once again. The next feast that's going to be celebrated is the Feast of Trumpets. And that's where we'll hear the Lord shall descend with the shout, with the sound of, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, dot, dot, dot. So these prophetic events or feast days tell us what God is doing and what he's up to. This is why we give attention to it. This helps us to keep from being lost and caught up into the world, because everything is going to end up the way God said it. We have the blessing of not only having the first book of Genesis, but the other 65 books ending with the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ included. And all of these books together reveal the heart and mind of God so that the people of God won't be ignorant, unlearned, lost in the fog of life itself, but that the people of God will have understanding concerning the will of God. And most of all, that you'll understand why God requires certain things of us as people. Because we're his sons and daughters. I mean, if we're of the devil, then yeah, we're going to do devil deeds. But if we're of God, we're going to do godly deeds. Amen? And conduct ourselves as such. And so, Jesus being our Passover, Jesus being our, because he destroyed sin. That's my, interpretation of it. Not that it needs interpretation, but he actually destroyed the power of sin. Well, why do the people of God who say that they're the people of God sin? They sin because they want to sin. But that master has been dealt with at the cross. And the very thing that was working against us, he moved it out of the way so it wouldn't provoke sin. And he gave us the Spirit who would bring forth life. Amen? So here we go in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, that 50th day, 50th day from what? Well, God told them, he said, on the morrow after the Sabbath, you shall count 7 weeks. And then on the day after the 7 weeks, which would be a Sunday, you are to celebrate the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Harvest or Pentecost. All of this revealing the time clock, time schedule of God. They didn't understand this. The only reason we understand it is because we're on the other side. Why did God keep this before the people? Because one day he knew that he was going to send the Holy Ghost. He already knew that Jesus was going to come manifest in the flesh, God incarnate, if you will. And he also knew that he was going to send the Holy Ghost as our helper. He knew that he was going to eventually come down in the form of flesh and fulfill the righteous requirement of the law that nobody else can do, only God could do. But he had to come in the form of man. He had to come in a body that was prepared for him. And this is, I'm sharing this with you, but this is all in the mindset of God about redeeming his people. You know, he's already thought this thing through, and it's like, okay, this is going to happen at this point in time. This is going to happen here. This is going to happen here. So, okay, Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been buried. And the third day, Jesus rises from the dead as the first fruits. And so now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercessions. But he said, it is expedient for you that I go, because if I don't go, the helper won't come. What's the importance of the helper? What's the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives? And why is it that some people don't want to have any parts of the Holy Ghost? Excuse me. Why is it that you can have some people, when I say people, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about people out there that are ungodly, unsaved. Why is it that some people can stress so much importance on the Holy Ghost and then others not stress importance at all? Who is the Holy Ghost? Obviously, God knew more than we knew and knew exactly what we needed in order to fulfill his will in all the earth. Obviously, God knew that we needed him on the inside of us, where he was at the beginning, but was cut off through sin, but now has paved the way and made the way for us to be restored back again, and now he can dwell with us, and we will be with him forever and shall never be separated and neither be cut off from him. Why did God do things this way? It wasn't like there were many choices. This was the only way God could deal with the adversary and save his people simultaneously. Your enemy is defeated forever. He's not defeated, this week and then he comes back next week. He is defeated forever. Every time you get attacked, you need to know you're dealing with a defeated foe. So if there's defeat in him, you don't have to be concerned about losing. You don't have to be concerned about being wounded. You don't have to be concerned about anything, or I should say afraid or fearful of anything, because you're dealing with someone that is defeated and he's dealing with someone who is victorious. Does that make sense? But our victory is not to be celebrated by living life as a person outside of the will of God, but a person who's inside of the will of God. In other words, you just can't be in and out with the things of God and think you're going to walk in victory. You have to stay in and remain in. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Jesus started off with the 12. And one of those was a devil. From the 12, he had 70. And then from the 70, it increased to 120. These 120 believers all gathered in one place. They obeyed the word of Jesus in telling them, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It wasn't an issue of, well, I got to go over here and do this. Well, I got to go over and do, well, I have these other responsibilities. He said, stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. John baptized with water unto repentance, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, mind you, Peter, James, John, Matthew, and the other disciples, Bartholomew, the other apostles, they all operated in the power of Jesus while Jesus was here with them. So they were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Even the 70 were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, if you will. But Jesus was telling them, you're going to receive power from on high. And it's going to be something different than what you've experienced before. So by the time Pentecost comes, every believer, now mind you, they could have said, well, I've already received the power. I'm already anointed. I'm already this, I'm already that. But he gave them a strict instruction and said, tarry, stay there until. So they're in obedience to the word. Suddenly, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, suddenly. What does the word suddenly mean to you? Immediately, just just all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they were carrying on as usual. What was the as usual? They were in one accord and in prayer. They were seeking the face of God. They were, I don't even think they had like prayer requests. I don't think they had well, now we're going to pray for Caesar. Now we're going to pray for, I don't think they had any lineup. I just believe that they were in that upper room, and I don't even believe that there was necessarily somebody up there leading them other than Peter when he spoke out and said, because he must have picked up in the spirit that people were grieved because of Judas and all, and he had to explain that to them. But I just believe the people were just, you know, just in there just rocking and just going at Breshika. They weren't doing that. But they were just, you know, Lord, come on, send your fire. Lord, come on, give us what you said. Bring the promise. Whatever reason you had us to stay here, Lord, whatever, that's why we're here. You said to tarry in Jerusalem till we be endued with power from on high. Lord, send that power from on high. You said John baptized with water, but you'll baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Lord, send that. Send that right now. Give us that baptism, the baptism that you do with the Holy Ghost. So, and I believe it was just like that, and they just continued steadfastly. They just continued every day, and then boom, suddenly. That's how it's going to happen. What do you mean that's how it's going to happen? Things are going to happen suddenly, but you can't have a casual attitude towards it and just think that you can do anything and everything outside of the main thing, which is what God has commanded us to do. I hope that makes sense to you. They were at the place, they were doing what Jesus told them to do until Jesus sent what he told, who he told them he would send. And it happened suddenly. That makes up for the 10 days of waiting. Each of you, if not all of you, you know how it would be. If you've been working at something for so long and it just never seemed like it would ever happen or come to pass, and then all of a sudden it comes to pass and you say, oh, praise God. Well, it was worth it all, praise God. It was worth all the effort, amen, amen. It's one of those things where suddenly, and the suddenly wipes out all of the agony and everything you went through to get to the place of the suddenly. We have to be people of patience. We have to be people of endurance. We're commanded to be strong. It's not a, you know, you're a child of God. I could talk to you this way. You're commanded to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not a suggestion for you. You're expected to be strong. You're expected to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You're expected to be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. You're expected to walk worthy of God's calling, letting everybody know that the life that you live devoted unto him, dedicated unto him, and you're doing this for his glory and his honor because he deserves it and he deserves better. You're expected to live a life above reproach. You're expected of that. None of us are expected to live a sinful life. And I'm not here to bash people about their sins. Repent of your sins and get right with God. Hallelujah. But we're expected. And will God just string us along, you know, for all of these days on this earth and never reward or never honor us? He's not that kind of a God. This is why I don't understand how some people can just give up in the midst of the stream. Press through all the way. What do I mean by this? I mean, when I got hit with that nasty bug, I'm like, man, whew. And I'm only on day 3 of fasting. And fasting is not to make you feel bad or, you know, make me look good or stuff like that, because there's not anything that we should brag or boast about, but I'm just trying to make a point. Fasting, I get hit on day 3, and I'm like, man, but I ain't about to break it. You know, my body wanted some things. You know, first day of fasting, your body thinks of anything and everything. Oh, that sounds good. That looks good. Don't go to the grocery store when you on your first day of fasting. You'll buy anything and everything on that shelf. You buy stuff you never bought before. Oh, that looks good. We could really make a good. So you don't, you know, second day, you know, you start to, you know, you're still dealing with things and you're imagining things and it's like, expecting. It's like your body tells you, you know, it's time. We haven't eaten in a while. It's time for us to eat. But the third day, you get hit with something like this. I mean, this stuff is junk. It's some of the worst stuff that I've ever experienced. It's like it just stuff take you, just pick you up and body slam you. Then feels like it's digging into your brain. And I'm like, what in the world is this junk? But I'm still before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm not breaking the fast, and I'm not changing. Whatever this body does, if this body wants to shut down, it'll have to shut down. But we're going all the way through with this thing in the name of Jesus. And so today, I expect great rewards. Not just for me, but for all of you. I expect great rewards. I expect suddenly seasons for you. I expect for things to all of a sudden happen that have been delayed for so long, but because you remain faithful and true, God honors you. And the suddenly just overshadowed the weight, overshadowed all of the hell and everything you went through. The suddenly made up for it all. Suddenly, he's not here. There he is. Suddenly, Ryan Goble, after how long of trying to apply for that position that you have now? 4 years. He wasn't in the right place. He wasn't at TFT, rooted and grounded. But for 4 years, you don't mind me using you just as an example, illustrating. For 4 years, he's been trying to get into this company and could not get into it. But as he aligns himself up with Christ, suddenly he gets hired. And you must never forget that, Ryan. You must never forget that. Those are files, if you will. You put in your file of the workings of God in your life. They will help to nail you down as goals to keep you in the will of God so that the devil doesn't have his desires worked out in your life, but God's desires will be fulfilled in and through you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the suddenly made up for the 4 years of wait. It's not how long you have to wait. Imagine Abraham and Sarai. Or Sarah. Imagine them. Abraham, I'm going to bless you with the son. Okay, Lord. So him and Sarah do what husband and wife do. They do this thing for 10 years and nothing happens. 10 years, that's a long time. A lot of work. Sarah gets an idea. Abraham, it ain't happening here. Why don't you go into my handmaid Hagar and see what'll work there? And instantly Hagar gets pregnant. I'm not going to go into details about that, but Hagar gets pregnant. They've been waiting for 10 years and nothing's happened. Hagar has Ishmael. Abraham wants God to receive Ishmael, but God says, no. I didn't tell you to take matters into your own hands. I will fulfill things in their appointed time. You don't have to be all bent out of shape because you haven't seen the manifestation of what I promised you. It will be fulfilled in its appointed time. This is what you got to hold fast to. You can't be all messed up like, he didn't move now. You said spoiled babies or something like that. Spoiled babies don't get their way, and they start pouting and running all over the place and getting in trouble. No, we are to be mature sons and daughters of God. Sister Lori, your family will be saved. Your family will be saved. Your family will be saved. And this is the overwhelming joy that I was experiencing earlier. Because I'm thinking about each and every one of you, and the love of God is being poured out and shed abroad. And God is saying, I'm going to answer every prayer. I am going to fulfill every word that I have spoken to you. You are going to experience a suddenly. Do not worry, my child. Do not fear, my child. Do not be afraid, my child. I am with you. And I will fulfill my word concerning you. The suddenly will make up for all the hell and the wait. The suddenly will make up for all of the pain and heartache and shame and humiliation. You got to remember the word of the Lord. Everyone that puts their trust in me, they shall never be put to shame. All who put their trust in me, they shall never be put to shame. He's too big of a God. He can do anything. He can do everything. Nothing is impossible with him. Jesus manifests in the flesh, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, cleansed the lepers. Then gave his disciples, his apostles, the ability to do the same. Then gave 70 others the ability to do the same. Then he had 120 in the upper room waiting. Waiting. 10 days. They waited there. 10, one of those numbers that represent testing. They waited. They waited. They waited. They prayed. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9. I don't even know if they were keeping track. If they were in sync with Pentecost. And that Jesus was going to do something special on that great and glorious day. They were in the place that they needed to be. They were in the place that they needed to be. But I don't know if they had even made the connection that he was going to do it on Pentecost. But Pentecost represents Feast of Weeks or Feast of Harvest. And this was like the first gathering. So you have 120 that are baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the initial evidence of that was the speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Then you have them going out from that place amongst the people that they feared. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you have all boldness. You have all boldness to stand before people and proclaim this truth. Even though it may cost you your life, you go in faith and you trust God to uphold you, protect you, and keep you. And if by chance somebody takes you out, you're going on to glory anyway, so there's no loss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. So, day 10, boom. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. Heaven began to praise God. Heaven began to make a sound like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Now, you've probably heard windstorms and all. Some probably heard it worse than others, depending on what part of the nation you've lived in before. But we do have some understanding of a rushing mighty wind and how, you know, that sort of thing. But this was different, because it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, they were in the upper room, but it filled the house. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. Now, mind you, there were Jews that came from all over that had been scattered abroad to other nations. But they all came together on the day of Pentecost, because that was one of the great feasts that they were to celebrate. And when they all came together from the different parts of the land, they wondered, how is it we hear them speaking in our own native language? And what were they speaking? The wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. It teaches us to tell of the good things that the Lord has done. And if you don't have the personal testimony of what God has done in your life, at least read the scriptures to see what God has done in the lives of those before. I mean, the scripture constantly, in the book of Psalms, as well as in the other books, it constantly reminds you of how the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in one night, and how he destroyed Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. And that was to never be forgotten. They were to tell that to their children, their children's children, you know, to the third and fourth generation, if you will. They were to tell those things of the Lord and what he does. Why? So a generation would grow up to have faith in their God. This is what he's done before. This is what he's able to do even now, in Jesus' name. And so, one of the initial evidences is not just breshika ba 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 ko. That's one. And for the most part, that's to build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. If there's a message, there will be an interpretation that will come as a result of it, and it will lead to edification for the entire body, so that the body will know what's being said by the Spirit. But in those tongues, they were speaking to the people in their own languages about the wonderful works of God. what God had been doing, what God is doing. And it was so moving that 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord in one meeting. They were all perplexed, saying, these men are drunk. Peter's like, how is it that we're drunk? It's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 in the morning. Who gets drunk that early? Don't answer that. Who gets drunk that early? We're not drunk. This is that. This is what? This is that which the prophet Joel spoke concerning. Isn't it awesome? Peter and John, as well as the rest of the disciples that hung out with Jesus, the apostles, they were considered by the religious people as ignorant or unlearned men, but they knew that they had spent time with Jesus. Now, mind you, these religious leaders were masters, if you will, of the law. They knew the law. They knew the scriptures. They knew about the prophets. They knew, you know, concerning concerning the letter. I'll just put it like that. They knew it. Peter, them, they just had divine revelation. They had Holy Ghost reminder and revelation. And Peter says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. He goes back and digs. The reason I'm saying it like that, because I don't believe it was just Peter out of his, you know, deep theology of what he had to. I believe it was just divine revelation that he was able to extract out of the spirit the words of the prophet Joel and say, this is what Joel was saying. What you see before you right now, this is what's happening. Because they believed in the prophets. Well, as I said, stand to your feet. It continued. Peter finished his sermon. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? I expect this to happen. We pray for Pentecost experience, Pentecost visitation for our family members as we called their names out Wednesday night. I expect God to move upon those requests. I hope you're still expecting. Just because you don't see it today doesn't mean it's not happening. Because in the suddenly, all of a sudden, they contact you, all of a sudden, their lives change, all of a sudden, they get saved, all of a sudden, breakthrough comes. Yeah, you'll be rejoicing and shouting for joy. What should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. When I say we, I'm not talking about us, but I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. How we got away from being bold enough to say it as it is to a generation, you know, it boggles my mind. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners. save yourselves from this crooked generation. And I'll stop right there, because after that it says, and 3,000 and all got saved. See the world through the eyes of God. Have a biblical worldview. Don't envy the ungodly. Don't be jealous of the ungodly. Don't have the desires of the ungodly. Let God's desires be your desires. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you and give you praise. Thank you for this great and glorious day. Thank you for this day of Pentecost. Lord, as we get ready to bring this time, this meeting to an end, and we get ready for communion, we ask your blessing upon the bread and the cup, representing the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. For as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do proclaim Jesus' death till he comes, and we do it in his remembrance. Jesus, we thank you for being our great King and High Priest. Thank you for being our Passover Lamb. Thank you for your obedience in everything, even unto death, the death of the cross. Lord, we stand before you today, giving honor to your name. We ask your blessing upon this communion as we take. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, go ahead and pass it out, and then we will wait till everyone is served. We'll have communion. Immediately following communion, we'll go ahead and dismiss. Have a happy Pentecost Sunday. Continue celebrating. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just wait patiently. Great, how great you are. Hallelujah. While you're being served, we're going to pray. My God, how great you are. How great you are. Brother Joseph, if you could come forward. My God, how great you are. How great you are. My God, how great you are. How great you are. Hallelujah. Father, Hallelujah. Has everyone been served? Okay.
Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. We now take of the bread. For the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ, broken for us. This bread represents your body. The cup represents your blood. We take this in your honor and for your glory. Bless it now as we eat in your precious name. Likewise, we take the cup, the fruit of the vine, the blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sins. For the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Bless it now as we drink in your precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, how great you are. We now pray for healing. If there's anyone in here who needs physical healing, raise your hand. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Master, release your healing power in this assembly, in this congregation. We lift up Brother Tim Negrete. We pray for healing in his physical body. We pray for total healing and restoration. We continue to lift up Jeremy, that you'll bring healing to his body. Complete healing from that injuries that he suffered. And we pray, Father, that he will serve you. He and his mother, Lisa, that they will serve you in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for healing Sister Kelly in her physical body. And we thank you now for healing every person in this tabernacle who's experiencing pain, who's experiencing back pain, shoulder pain. Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever infirmity they're dealing with, whether it be the common cold or whether it be something even more serious, we pray for your healing power and virtue to flow into their bodies now. Touch them, Lord. You touch them, that they know that they've been touched by the Master. Irreversible healing in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you and give you praise. If there's anyone out there that's not saved, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do so. Anyone watching live stream, you've never received Jesus Christ, or you're backslidden and you need to make things right, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. All you have to do is be sincere in your heart. Whether you're in this tabernacle now or watching live stream, repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I repent of every sin that I've done. I receive your love and your mercy and your grace. I receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus, live inside of me. Make me a new creation. Take away the old nature, the old thoughts. Make me completely new. Give me the power of your Spirit that I may be an effective witness and live to declare your glory. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. He will do this. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. Praise God.